Broadcasting from the studios of Business Radio X, it's time for the Good to Give podcast. This show is underwritten by the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, connecting people who care with causes that matter. Now, here is your host.
Hello, my name is Dupree Swati, President and CEO of the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia. And today we're welcoming our friends from the Alpharetta Rotary, who are new fund holders to the Community Foundation. And we're really, really happy to have you guys to join us today. I'm now going to turn over to my colleague, Maria Walden Sullivan, to get us started with introducing our new partners.
Well, thank you, DePriest. And we're really excited to be here with the Rotary in Alpharetta. I am the development officer with the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia. And I'd love to introduce our fantastic guest for today. I'm going to start with the Rotary. And Brian, take it from here.
Hi, I'm Brian King, Alpharetta Rotary. I'm foundation chair. And have been in the club right at 10 years. So really excited that we have created our own foundation and that we have partnered with you guys. A little bit about our foundation. 3 years ago, our president, Kyle Lewis, asked me if I would be the Rotary International Foundation chair. And I said, sure. And then he dropped the bomb. Oh, we're going to start our own foundation. I was, beep. And so that started a two-year conversation with IRS, lawyers, all of that, getting the foundation set up. And before we did that, we said, well, okay, let's look at Rotary International and see what has their foundation accomplished. So it was founded 1917 by a small donation of $26.50 from Arch Klum. They didn't make their first distribution for 13 years. The fund has now grown to $1.3
billion. Wow.
And annually they give somewhere around $300, $330 million in grants for projects all over the world. So I figured our club is 40 years old. Damn, can you imagine where we would be if we started our foundation 40 years ago?
That's incredible.
But we started ours 3 years ago and really got the ball rolling. We already have $390,000 that we have, our members have donated to the foundation.
So. Yeah, that's great. How many members are there currently?
We have 175 members. Each member contributes their membership dues, $100 go to the foundation.
That's incredible. Well, I want to hear more about that, the foundation part of it. And so for now, I'm going to put you on pause. And now we have Katie Rocco. Katie, will you introduce yourself and what you do?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm serving as immediate past president of the Alpharetta Rotary Club, as well as secretary, serving Brian, taking notes at his meetings for the Alpharetta Rotary Foundation. And I was also a part of founding the foundation. So I just was a part of voting. They did all the busy legal work, but that was really special to be a part of that as I was preparing to become president of the club. So I'm now serving as secretary and immediate past president.
That's amazing. I told Katie, I'm a new member. This is Maria again. And I was inducted last week, and she's one of the reasons I joined, because I will tell you, there's a lot of entertainment. So you're going to have a great time listening to Katie today. And so thank you for being here, Katie.
Thanks for having me.
And last but not least is we've invited a financial advisor to speak to why it's really beneficial for a Rotary or a nonprofit to have a foundation. And so, Tony, I'm going to turn this over to you, and please make it the introduction.
Sure. Tony Van Gelder. I am a proud Alpharetta Rotary member, firstly, but here today as a financial advisor, certified financial planner. We took a long time thinking of the name of the business we have. So we called it Van Gelder Financial, which is our last name. So we got really creative there. But I'm passionate not only in helping our clients with all of their investment management, retirement planning, but specifically around their philanthropic giving. And so I'm excited just to talk a little bit about donor advised funds and foundations and how they can benefit people.
That's great. We get the question a lot as to what is a donor advised funds. And so Tony will will educate us on that today. And well, the other question I get often is, what is a Rotary? And why am I joining? What's the difference between that and a Kiwanis Club? And so, Brian, give us, I see you have a lot of notes there. So let's share, please.
Well, Rotary is the largest serviced club in the world. We're in every country in the world. Rotary's goal has been to eradicate polio. And Katie can give you just a brief list of some of our local charities that we help out. I mean, we did, $240,000 worth of giving to the local community just this year.
So. Yeah, I think that Rotary is a different definition to each individual Rotarian. So it really depends on who you're asking. And I think my definition of what is Rotary is it is a group of business leaders in the community who are committed to making a difference both in sweat equity and check equity. So we all have a different meaning and purpose of being in Rotary. I'm not familiar with a lot of the other clubs because Rotary's kind of been where my heart's been. But the way I see it, and even my vision over the past year, was if you have a group of people who are willing to put their heart and soul into something alongside their friends and other leaders in the community, you can truly impact a community in a big way, and it becomes a ripple effect outside of that community. So like Brian said, we served over 26 different charities this past year. I've been in Rotary for about 7 years. And as far as I can remember, that's the largest number of different charities that we've been able to support. And that is largely due to the fact that we created our own foundation. So the difference between us creating our own foundation and the Rotary International Foundation is we have complete control in where our funds go. So it's money in and it's money out. And we're working on building our capital fund, but we also have, we're giving a lot away during the year. So that continues to grow, but it's a vehicle that our members can bring their passions and plug them in, and we can collectively make a greater impact. So I'm super passionate in the anti-human trafficking world, and I can make a very tiny splash in that space. But when I bring my Rotarian friends and group together, we can make a huge impact, which we've done this last year. So I'm really proud of what we're building and what we've been able to accomplish up to this point.
That's incredible. And it reminds me of what we do at the Community Foundation, DePriest, is that we manage a large pool. We use the capital group, but a larger pool of money can impact more people, as you guys have described. And I think it's a similar kind of a scenario that we are all in this together. But on a larger, if the larger the pool, the larger the group, the more of an impact we can make. Did you want to add anything to that, DePriest?
It goes further faster. I mean, when you're pooling assets or you're pooling trains of thought or community assets, you can go much, much quicker, much faster, and have a greater impact. So thank you so much for joining us today, joining the Community Foundation.
Yeah, this is great. So what made you decide? I mean, I heard what you said about the foundation, but was there anything in particular that caused you, because not every Rotary does that because a Rotary is a 501c6 and then you had a 501c3. So you had to go through a little bit of, you know, some effort and creating that. But what, I'm sure, Katie, you were involved in that process. So why though? I mean, what was the real idea behind that? And why did you look to the Community Foundation as a partner?
Brian's probably a better one to answer that part, but I do believe the whole purpose of it was our leader at the time, excuse me, Kyle Lewis, he saw that we were becoming something special. We were growing. We were attracting a lot of very influential people with big pockets who wanted to make a big difference. So I think the goal was how do we stay more in control of our money instead of having to go through the process of paying it to Rotary International and then having to request it back. So this just puts us in the driver's seat more. As far as the Community Foundation, I think it was more of a management thing because we're not financial advisors other than Tony. But we're business owners and we are leaders in the community, but that's not our specialty. So, right. So when you're running a business, you hire to your weaknesses. So I think as far as I understand it, we turned it over to the professionals in order to even to be able to show our members that their funds are trusted. And I believe there was a lot of vetting to find you guys and make sure you were the best fit. And then to be able to come back to the club and say, we've got this set up and this is our partner there. They're going to be the ones managing it for us. I believe that was the case, but Brian can speak more to that.
Yeah, Princess has kind of nailed it. But we also wanted to have a very clean division between the Rotary Club and our investments. And we figured, why reinvent the wheel? Yes, we've got a lot of financial advisors in the club, but it's much cleaner if we go outside of the club and have someone outside of the club do the investments and manage the funds. And you guys came highly recommended. Mary Ulick has worked with you guys for many, many years, and she recommended that we go with you guys and take your advice. And
We appreciate that. We love it. So, Tony, I'm going to ask you some questions now. And so the question was posed to, you know, why? Can you give us some insight as to why an agency would work with a community foundation rather than a financial advisor?
Sure. Yeah. I think a lot of times it can be dizzying the amount of charitable foundations and organizations that are within a community and within across Northeast Georgia where you guys represent. And so a lot of times I'm finding an organization like yourselves can connect the stories of what all of these different nonprofits are needing and doing to the funds. And a lot of times we as a Rotary might have different passions or different interests, but we don't know how to channel all of that, all those funds to the right organizations. And you bringing those stories to Alpharetta Rotary Foundation allows us to then be able to make a greater impact rather than us just deciding where those funds are going to go. But hearing the stories from you guys, I think is super impactful. And I think it's legacy, right? So beyond when Brian and Katie and myself are going to be part of Alpharetta Rotary for many years, but well beyond that, when our kids are a part of Rotary, this is now something that has started, and those funds hopefully will then grow to be able to impact generations that we don't even know or see yet. So I think those two things are really something that is inspiring about a foundation or a donor advised fund, that it is going to go well beyond potentially the years that the people that started it.
Yeah, that's very well said. Dupree, did you want to add anything to that?
You know, Tony just said it very, very well. We call that the journey of generosity. I mean, it spans generations, and we want there to be resources for many generations to come, because we just came out of a season where the world was just turned on its side. Mm. And so the world is different than it was, you know, 2-3 years ago. And these types of initiatives allow us to ebb and flow with changing times, changing generations, changing needs. And we want to make sure that we're going to be around to make sure that we're, you know, fiscally responsible for making sure that the wishes of the Alpharetta Rotary and other Rotaries that we support, that those are in alignment with community need.
That's absolutely, you know, the way we see it. And I'm glad you see it that way, Tony. And one of the reasons we are loving to, you know, work with the Rotary with all the stories you had mentioned that they have, we want to share those stories. We work with lots of different nonprofits that we want to help. And so we have an educational component too, which is the other side of what a community foundation provides, is that we have nonprofit academies. So we help with the fundraising, but more than anything is we're the convener in the community. And so we are really striving to be the best and making sure that all the needs are met by the agencies that we represent. So Brian, tell me a little bit more about, I know that there's the international and then there's the local chapters. And you were saying that, and you started to say something about the international had a foundation, but on a local level, you are the chair to that. And so on an international level, is this something that they do as a whole, or are you saying that each chapter is kind of like its own franchise?
So Rotary International is basically the parent company of Rotary. They manage all of the funds go to Illinois. They're invested for a period of 3 years. And when you want to do a grant, you will apply for a grant. Typically, they're international grants. You have to have a partner club. So if we're going to do a project in Brazil, we partner with a club in Brazil. Then from there, we identify a need. They have to document the need. And then if we say we're going to put $10,000 into that grant, the district will match that $10,000, and then Rotary International will match that $20,000. So you can turn $10,000 into $40,000 for an international project. One of the reasons we went with a local foundation was we wanted to build stability in the club. Every year, board turns, president comes in, they have zero funds, they have to raise their money so they can put it back into the community. So by starting our capital fund over a period of time, this will guarantee funds to an incoming president. So in the first year, we gave $10,000 to Katie. Our second year, we gave $33,000 to Casey. This is something we never had before. We always were struggling. The president starts out at the beginning of the year. What do I do? What fundraisers am I going to have? And they're in a mad panic because they started with zero and their goal is, I want to do $200,000 worth of. So if 10 years from now, our capital fund will be giving back hopefully somewhere around $100,000, $200,000 to the incoming president. So they're starting with this and going, okay, I'm going to take this and then do all of my fundraisers. Now I don't have to sweat it near as much. So I think that was a huge motivation factor. Kyle came in with zero in the bank, had to run his year all on promise of the Mayor's Corporate Challenge will raise $100,000. Polar Bear Plunge back then raised $25,000. Okay, that's what we can give to the community. So bringing our foundation locally, we've got the talent, we know the needs, and we've got 175 members that are, have their finger on the pulse in the local unity.
So what community service projects are you guys doing now? I know there's a long, long list, but just name a few, and which one's your favorite?
I'm going to hand that to Princess because okay. She's done every single project.
I have a long list in front of me, so yeah.
I'll mention a couple. So All for One, it's actually one of our Rotarians started that. It's an orphanage that's in 24 different countries. Alpharetta Department, Parks and Rec, Public Safety, Brewable. One of our Rotarians is a part of starting that organization. C5 Youth Leadership, City of Alpharetta Senior Care, the Drake House, which is a local shelter supporting women, single mothers, getting on their feet, embracing the journey, Frontline Response. That's a personal passion of mine. That's a human trafficking organization that does rescues and provides a safe house. And this year, one of my president projects was we put on a human trafficking summit to educate the community. Wow. It was the first time we did that. We had the GBI there. We had Delta was there. We had just a lot of different people, but the goal was to educate the community because education is really where it starts. So that was something that we did. Georgia National Guard, we serve the military. I Can Bike, helping special needs kids, bike, home stretch, Innovation Academy Foundation, that we have an interact club there in a couple of the schools. Revved Up Kids, Salvation Army, Senior Services, North Fulton, Shelter Box, Special Pops, USO, Vision Works, on and on and on. Another thing that I'm probably my favorite, or another, I have a lot of favorites, but another one of my
and
favorite.
Me.
Yeah. Yes. Aside from washing Diva's feet. So one thing that we started this year was partnering with Vision Warriors. So Kirk Driscoll is the executive director, started that organization, and it's an addiction recovery organization. So once a month we go in and we cook dinner for the gentlemen there, and we just have built family relationship. You know, these guys have chosen to redirect their life. They hit rock bottom and said, we want to do something with our life. So it's super impactful for me. You know, I'm maybe there for a different reason, but these men have changed my life. They've allowed me to walk this journey with them, and it's been super, super impactful. And then we get to sit on their induction, and several of those members have come and joined our club. So it's just watching the integration within the community from people from every different walk of life. I'm really proud of how diverse we've become as a club in every single way. And I think what's exciting about having our own foundation is we're dreaming bigger than we did when we were a part of the Rotary International. We now are talking about fundraisers, and we're in the driver's seat. We don't have to go through somebody sitting in a cubicle in Illinois. We get to sit and talk about our local passion and start to make a true impact locally. And we're still a part of the international. You know, this year, I think we I think we had 4 different international projects around the world. So we are impacting in a big way internationally, but we are locally. We're also partnering with the kids in school. So we're impacting, like Tony said, future generations. So it's this all encompassing. Yes, we're impacting these, but it's also changing our lives as we show up. So I think oftentimes when we serve, we think, oh, we're making such a difference in their lives. Right. But in return, I know personally, it's changed my life more than I've been able to change anybody's life. So it's truly an honor and a privilege to get to be a part of an organization like this.
I am so excited to be a part of it as well. And I've been volunteering as well, you know, for a long, long time, but it does impact the person that's giving. It impacts more, it seems to be, than the person that's receiving it. And Tony, as you were speaking to legacy, and that as we teach our children, second, third generation in giving or becoming a philanthropist and or building that foundation as a opening a donor advised fund, can you give me some insight as to, based on what Katie was just saying and how it makes you feel? Not every financial advisor has that heart for philanthropy or that will guide their clients to listen to what their heart is speaking to.
Sure. So
can you give me some insight as to what that looks like and how it's affected your role?
Yeah. So I'll get a question a lot of time from clients, you know, why start a donor advised fund if I can just give directly to the charity that I am passionate about? And I'd say there's a couple of reasons. There's a very basic reason from a tax perspective or even from a financial perspective to do that. But I think more to your question, that legacy from a donor advised fund, you can name a child, a niece, a nephew, a spouse as someone who will come in and take over that donor advised fund after you pass. And I think that's a really unique way as a family to think and talk about legacy. Right? Something that my wife and I could start today that could carry on for generations through both of our boys and beyond through our grandchildren. And so I think those conversations and those stories around legacy and around building a heart of generosity in the next generation is something that a donor advised fund could do differently than just writing a check and sending it straight to a charity. And then beyond that, more from a very basic benefit, is that whatever you donate or put into the donor advised fund, yes, it's an irrevocable gift, right? You cannot change that decision to put it in, but now it can continue to grow. It is remaining invested in potentially appreciated stock that you might have gifted, securities that you're gifting, cash that can grow or be invested. That's different than even if you give or donate appreciated stock, right? The foundation or the charitable organization is going to cash that in and use it for what they need. Now what the foundation would through Alpharetta Rotary or if it's a personal donor advised fund, that growth is the whole benefit of being able to then give down the line in a much more impactful way.
Well, as Brian was saying, that you have 175 members that have contributed to the foundation and growth. If you are part of a club such as the Rotary, can you open a donor advised fund and have that money allocated to the dues or to their foundation?
I wouldn't, not so much to the dues for Alpharetta Rotary, but to any 501c3, you can. Yes.
So perfect. So they could pay and contribute to that foundation, what I hear you say, open a donor advised fund and actually decide where the money should go. What about the tax benefits? What are the tax benefits to doing something like this?
Yeah. So I think the other misconception that a lot of people have is that if I make a charitable donation directly to a charity of my choice today, I am automatically getting a tax deduction for that. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, in 2016, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act drastically increased what is known as the standard deduction for your taxes. 90%+ of individuals around the country take the standard deduction because they don't have enough charitable donations, mortgage interest, healthcare expenses that year to go above what the standard deduction is. And so when you think about a donor advised fund and thinking about even bunching your charitable giving into 1 year or into a time when you might have a higher income year, you're getting a tax deduction in that year. But then when those funds actually go to a charity, could be 1, 5, 10 years down the line. And so it's so impactful to be able to get that benefit in the particular year, but then decide how and when that goes out to the charity of choice or or you know, church or whatever it might be that you're passionate about. So that tax deduction today, and then that opportunity for growth, and then giving down the line is the real impact.
That's really incredible. And a lot of people don't realize that, Katie, we were talking about that before we started this today, and that not knowing that's available, it almost seems like, yeah, really? Can I really do this? DePriest hears this all the time. Do you want to share anything with that about that, DePriest?
I think that what a lot of individuals and families and organizations don't realize is that the beauty of this charitable approach is those dollars grow exponentially, but that taxable benefit disappears for the actual donor. Mm. So they're building a wealth of assets for future generations, and they've already gotten their tax benefit. But as those dollars grow, there's no taxable obligation to that family or that individual, that organization. And it even goes for, you know, businesses, particularly in small, medium-sized companies. We've had a number of them to come to us and open funds, you know, mineral rights and, you know, different assets that they, you know, want to contribute philanthropically. And we've helped them to navigate those benefits as well. And I just want to tell you that, you know, Tony, you know, being a part of the investment community and partnering with the Community Foundation, as with our other professional advisors who are in insurance or in investments or attorneys, they really do a great job. You guys do a really good job in partnering with us to help navigate our clients to a much better place philanthropically and financially. So thank you so much for walking us through this journey.
Yeah. I think the only thing I'd add to that, yes, it benefits the donor, right, from a tax perspective. Great. But I think to the charities, we saw this in 2020 when COVID hit. We saw it even going back to 2008, 2009, global financial crisis. Charities struggle sometimes with the lumpiness of their donations. And in 2020, I've served on a board of another charity. There was freak out mode, right, of where are we going to find money and where are we going to, how are we going to fundraise like we used to? People were losing their jobs. So I think the concept that a donor advised fund or a foundation can be a rainy day fund for your giving is really, really powerful, because we saw donor advised funds or foundations really step up to the plate in 2020 to say, we're going to bridge that gap. Maybe individuals don't have the cash they would have previously donated, but if they made a decision in 2017 or 18 and 19 and built into those funds, then in 2020, when the going gets tough, that's when it can be dispersed and it can be really impactful.
Can I throw in one more perspective?
Yeah.
So personally, I have a DAF fund, and I set it up years ago when I first met with a financial advisor because they learned I love to give. So I'm 40. I have a lot of years ahead of me, but I'm already starting to plan and fund this account so that when I am maybe in retirement without steady income coming in, I still am able to give at the same level. So it's actually, yes, it's a tax savings now, but I'm actually planning for retirement, being able to continue to give.
Wonderful.
And, yeah, that is. And that you have a heart for it. And there, and many members, I'm sure, but not being aware of that is so key in that what in, you're so young, and you're right. You have such a long journey, giving journey ahead of you. And Brian, as you were saying that, you know, there are so many people and you have now this capital. And if you hadn't have thought about it, as Tony had said, you know, when you did, all you, as a group, as a club, you wouldn't have that now, and the capabilities to what you, how you're going to impact the community. Anybody, do you want to add anything to that?
I think the smoke is speaking for itself.
We're passionate here.
We are passionate here. You know, and I will tell you too, you know, as we've gotten older and matured, myself included, my perspective on philanthropic giving is obviously different than it was when I was in my 20s or in my 30s. But I will tell you that when you look at the need and you're a part of great organizations like Rotary or Community Foundation or these nonprofits, and you see how less fortunate, you know, individuals are, and you get to deconstruct what homelessness looks like, and you get to see what, you know, educational disparities look like for children, then once you're close to that information around, you know, community knowledge, who wouldn't want to give? So when you have a philanthropic heart and mind, and you're able to influence others as we're, you know, leaders and titans of industry and influencers and all these social circles, you know, who wouldn't want to expand this to the networks that we have in order to grow, you know, these funds and grow these community initiatives so that we can have a better world across the board.
That's right. And there's no better partner. I mean, you guys, with as many community, you know, perks and benefits and all the services that you're providing. I mean, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. And you are kind of one to many for us. So we, you know, being a part of your team is so critical because we're reaching the masses through you. And so thank you for that. So I wanted to just talk more about the Rotary and a little bit about what you guys, if there's something that you want to share, any upcoming events, what's coming, you know, going on. I know there's some great music happening downtown Alpharetta these days because yes. I'm going. I like to go to outside and outdoor music. So tell us a little bit about the events that you have that are currently, and then what do you have coming up?
Yeah, so one of our Rotarians decided to, I think the goal was to bring more awareness around the Rotary Club. And I know a year ago when I stepped into Rotary Club president, there's a lot of people in my age group and generation who didn't have a clue of what Rotary was. So some of our goal has been to bring awareness. So one of the things is a concert series downtown. I believe it's every Saturday night during the summer. And it's become a fundraiser. So far, I believe this year, it's raised about $25,000.
Wow.
So yeah, it's incredible. And it was kind of an unexpected fundraiser. It was more, let's bring the community together. Let's bring awareness around Rotary. And it's turned into a fundraiser. So we're now sort of dreaming of what could that look like. So that's a lot of fun. And then it's Rotarians downtown and in the community. And so it's multifaceted, obviously. And then I think, you know, we just rolled over into a new presidential year. So there's new, I know there's new vision and new goals and whatnot. I know mental health is a big focus this upcoming year. He's doing a golf tournament, which will be a fundraiser. And then our biggest fundraiser so far, actually there's two of them, but one is in September. It's the Mayor's Corporate Challenge. So we partner with different corporations in the community and we do a 5K. I don't do a 5K. I cheer them on the sidelines with a bottle of water. But people,
bottle of wine.
Last year I had a bullhorn cheering them on. It was fantastic. But that will raise probably, you know, $1 to $150K is usually that event. And then another one that's been a lot of fun, and Brian jumps on behalf of this, is our polar bear plunge. That's in February. Uh-oh. And we jump in.
Katie's going to jump this year.
Yeah, I did last year too.
I'm not participating. No.
I did last year. It wasn't that bad. But yeah, that one, I think we raised about $120,000. So he's Casey, our president, is introducing the golf tournament as our kind of our third one. But those are kind of our big fundraisers. And then we have our monthly things that we're doing in the community. So I think if anyone is interested in learning more about that, they should check out our website, which is, I believe it's Rotary Club of Alpharetta. If you Google that, you'll get our website and all of our, everything we do is on there. We also have socials and fellowships and all kinds of stuff, but it's all on there. And anyone is always welcome to join us. Come check us out Friday mornings too.
Yep. At 7:30.
7:30, 7:15, 7:30 is when the bell rings typically.
You're not going to be there.
That's a polar plunge.
I will. I'll be there.
That's a polar plunge in and of itself.
Yeah. True. Do all Rotaries do something? I mean, it sounds like you're creative. I like the way you're thinking outside the box. There's live music. Everybody likes live music. And where do you go? And it's a fundraiser. Or would you say that, you know, this is a common thread for most Rotaries?
No.
The types of events?
So I have been to multiple Rotary clubs, and when you're the youngest person in the room and you're waiting for somebody to call bingo, it's not as energetic as ours. Our club is kind of unique in that is we raise money in an excuse to have a party. And everything we do is about the social side and just getting with our Rotarian friends. I mean, even before we go to the concert, we'll have a tailgate party just one of the members will say, hey, I'll grill ribs and somebody else will bring food. And just there's always an excuse for a social gathering.
Most Rotary clubs are starved for membership, right? And we're struggling on the other side to say, how do we make sure everyone who's coming in knows the heart of Rotary and why they want to join? So it's been fun from my perspective just to see that. I would go to Rotary growing up in a small town because my dad was part of it. And I couldn't wait to get out of going to Rotary. But now it's something I look forward to on Friday mornings. To Katie's point, men, women, young, old, there's so much great diversity in the room, which is neat.
So why did you join? I mean, I know that you as a kid, and by the way, I see a lot of children in, at 7:30 in the morning on Friday. So it has to be pretty fun. If you can, if you can get a kid at 7:30, I'm sure the eggs are great, but I don't think that's the reason they're
Not the eggs.
No, not the eggs. So Tony, why, tell me a little bit about why you are involved in the Rotary. And then I want to know more about your organization and you know, how many people in your organization are part of the Rotary and how you see that growing.
Sure. I've been part of it for just under 2 years. So I moved up to Alpharetta in 2021 and my brother had just joined Rotary and he said, you got to come check it out. So I went along, drank the Kool-Aid very quickly. I think in Atlanta, there's no shortage of networking groups, right? They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is this going to be another one of those where, you know, there's a closed group where you've got to only have one insurance person and what, and it was so different to that. There was nothing, sure, you network and you meet with people, but that's the cherry on top. This heart behind the service and having two young boys myself, having just moved into Alpharetta and wanting to be here long-term, to be able to give back and build a community that they're going to be able to enjoy was one of the main reasons I wanted to join. And then just, you feel it when you walk into that room on a Friday morning, there's just a buzz about it that you're not going to get at 7:15 in most places. So that was the reason I joined. As far as our company, Van Gelder Financial, so we are an independent financial services firm, and we actually are associated with a company called Cambridge. Cambridge is our broker-dealer, our RIA, and there's 4,000 independent advisors that are under their wing across the country, and they let us work completely independently. Clients will only know Van Gelder Financial. They don't know Cambridge is there. And so it's me and I've got a virtual office assistant who does all the paperwork. But I'm able kind of like a realtor would or an insurance agent would kind of operate independently, and kind of hang my shingle working from home or traveling to see clients and customers or doing Zoom and phone calls. So it's a little bit.
So more. You had mentioned networking. Rotary is a great, and as you know, a networking agent, but there are so many out there. I think networking is key. I mean, 7:30, I'm still stuck on that. 7:30 on a Friday morning, and there's probably 100 people at any given meeting that I've been to that are there, and they seem happy about getting up on a Friday.
I went on a stormy morning, and it was still packed.
Packed. I mean, it's crazy. But the networking component, because it seems like everyone's watching out for the other and building each other's businesses and celebrating and being champions for everyone. I think that's what we want. We want that excitement. Are you finding that the same way? And, you know, as far as your business, does it grow from that?
Yeah, yes, I have. But I think for me, my point was more to say there are so many other groups that will scratch that itch. And Rotary for me is all about the service and the giving back and the projects. If there's networking that comes from it, great, because you're going to be shoulder to shoulder at a service project with your fellow Rotarians. But certainly not a focus area. And that's what I think I love about it, that it's not, the networking is not actually the main focus area of the club, if that makes sense.
Sure it does. I'll comment on that if that's okay. Going back to me saying we all have a different definition, it's funny because right now networking is a big trigger word. Big trigger word.
Because not a good word.
Not a good word in our club, which is very interesting. No, so I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, I would say out of our entire club, which I think is 180, there's a very small handful that are there for networking. I think, in my opinion, what is special about the Rotary Club of Alpharetta is we're a family. And I heard this come up at our board meeting yesterday. Somebody brought it up that the family piece that we created even in this past year is something special. And, you know, there's a lot of talk of mental health crisis and all of that. And my personal belief is, when you give people a sense of community and belonging and you go make an impact and have purpose. So when you have meaning, belonging, and purpose, that is how you start to tackle the mental health crisis.
Hear, hear.
And I've had more people in the past year tell me that they've been able to pull out of their funk this year. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's Rotary. Rotary's family. Rotary is service. I give this guy right here, this Mr. Surveyor, I send as much business I can his way because I know I can trust him, but it started in a friendship. right. So it organically happens. But when somebody walks through the door looking for a networking opportunity, all the walls go up, all the bells go off. Everybody wants, it's like, he's here for the wrong reason. She's looking for the wrong thing. And it's really cool that our members are so protective. And that's different. Not every club is like that. And there will be people that will say, go to Rotary for this, that, and the other. But that's what is unique about our culture. And it's going to be up to each president going forward, what they choose, how much they choose to protect that or change it. So 5 years from now, it could look very different. But today, I believe that is what we have. And I think it's really special.
I also have to mention the fact that I love the fact that you go to, you're on an international basis. You go to Uganda and it's very exciting. We work internationally as well, working with the Ukraine. But I love the fact that we are thinking outside of just our local communities and you speak to mental health and whether it be Ukraine or what's going on in Uganda. I think we have to really broaden our minds. And so I'm grateful to you to open that up because I think I'm going to go.
Colombia, Honduras.
I want to go. Oh, yeah.
The world is hyper-local.
Yes,
I mean,
it really is. It really is.
What you do in your community has ripple effects around the world. And so that is extremely important. And I will also tell you, Katie, that we adopt the same philosophy in the nonprofit community through our nonprofit academy. You know, there was a time when nonprofits were always viewed as like those folks you don't really want to talk to in a social setting because they were going to shake you down for the last penny and they weren't going to walk away from you until you wrote them a check. And it is all about relationship and it's all about collaboration and it's all about referring to others, you know, what makes better sense with the dollars that are there versus I want it all to myself or I want it all for my 501c3. So hats off to, you know, the Alpharetta Rotary for being so forward thinking and how it views philanthropy, how you serve the community and how you are, you know, great stewards of the dollars that are galvanized, you know, for the betterment of the region that you serve.
Yeah, absolutely.
And being so innovative also, which is really cool.
Yeah, we have some incredible members. I mean, during COVID, when we had to cancel our big fundraiser, all of a sudden, Mary steps up and goes, why don't we do a virtual derby? And we raised, what, $100,000 in a matter of a week.
Over Zoom.
Zoom.
Yeah. Over Zoom.
Our event was Zoom. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Now, why do you think that the members are so involved and so dedicated to it and that they are spreading the word? Because obviously they're having to share this with their friends, like a derby in Zoom, like you're saying, it's very creative. I've done a lot of fundraisers. DePriest has done a lot of fundraisers. I've never done anything like that, not to raise that much money. So there's something, you've got the secret sauce, something going on. And I think to your point, Katie, it's the type of people that you attract.
I think it all goes back to culture, right? Mm-hmm. Just like in a business, you create the culture and it attracts the people to it. Look at a place like Apple. They've got a culture, Tesla. They've got a culture, Amazon, and they're attracting a certain type of people. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the difference between each local Rotary chapter is there's a culture. So there's people that come to ours and say, it's too big, too much energy. I hate the energy on a Friday morning. I'm not getting out of bed, right? It's hard to believe.
She looked right at me.
But, you know, we know when those people walk in the door and make those comments, we're not the right place for them. And we don't really have to say, we're not right for you. We just create something and then they get to decide. It's almost really like a business. So I think we've been able to, I'm completely privileged to be a part. I've only been a Rotarian. I'm a new Rotarian, actually. I've only been a Rotarian about 7 years. And these people have changed my life. And it's pretty amazing to walk alongside with servant-hearted, influential people who are committed to doing good. And somebody like Mary, Mary Ulick, she's got a lot of passion. She's done a lot. She was a part of starting Brewable. She's retired and she is knee deep in all of it. And so and she's a big recruiter. There's a lot of people in her neighborhood that have joined just because of the excitement she's talking about. And I think that that's probably similar with a lot of us is Rotary is such a part of our life that we're out talking about it. People are like, wait a second. Did you just say fun and Rotary in the same sentence?
That's right.
You know? Yes. And so we're able to say, well, just come check it out. Just come check it out one time. And then we don't have to sell it. they decide. Oftentimes people will say, where do I put the application? And we say, no, the process is you need to come several times and get letters of rec and whatnot. But people want, they walk in and they say, I want to be a part of this. There's something special happening here.
Well, I love that.
Well, and you guys are being very modest, so I could tell you guys are the cool kids on the block anywhere you go. So that makes a big difference too.
We're also very competitive, so you got to be very careful because there's comments like, "Well, I'll give 10,000 if you give 10,000."
Well, love that.
Well, I'm going to give 15. Can you do 15? And all of a sudden, that's how we ended up at 390,000 for our foundation in 3 years.
And some people threaten you that if you don't give to their polar bear plunge, they're coming after you. So we find our ways.
But you know, you mentioned something that I didn't think of, you know, when it comes to a nonprofit, a club, which is also a nonprofit, but when I think of something outside of a business is culture. And I think that is so key in how successful anything is, a family, you know, an organization, nonprofit included, or corporations, whatever the culture. And I think that's what separates you is the culture that is created, because those polar bear plunges, I don't think everybody wants to, you know, jump in the ice, but, or the matching, as you suggested, as far as being competitive, that's culture. That is incredible. And we're actually at the Community Foundation. We're building some types of programs for culture. And, you know, love to chat with you more and maybe even have you at the event. But, you know, about how culture is so key and it's transferable.
You could do a team that would jump in the polar bear plunge, Maria. As part of the Community Foundation.
I think it's your organization that we're going to do this. Do you have children?
I do.
Okay, how old are they?
Can
they?
8 and 5, two
all right,
boys.
Perfect. Kids, they don't care how cold the water is. We'll start with that. We'll start with kids.
Well, we also put 500 pounds of ice in the pool before we jumped this year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mean.
Well, it might be 80 degrees in Georgia in February. You never know.
That's true.
Yeah, no, it's true. Been 20 degrees on one of them. It was
snowing.
Yeah, it's snowing.
You never know.
Yeah.
Well, it's good for your body to jump in some ice, is what I've been told. That's what something
hear.
I choose to
That's
do.
What I hear.
But I have read that, you know, it's good for your whole system.
Katie, we got another jumper.
Yeah.
It's
How
good
much time
for
do
it.
We have left on this
I'll
podcast.
Go to Uganda, okay? So, but anyway, it's just been just great. And I, you know, I'm so grateful to all of you for here today and sharing your stories. But, you know, I know people want to find you. So I know, Katie, you mentioned the your website. Do you want to mention it again?
Sure. So there's Rotary Club of Alpharetta. That's our local chapter that you can find us there. And then the Rotary Foundation is Alpha. So it's A-L-P-H-A, Rofo, R-O-F-O, alpharofo.org.
Alpha Rofo.
Yes. A-L-P-H-A-R-O-F-O.org.
Perfect. Brian, you want to talk about how they can reach you if anybody wanted to find you and what you do in your real job?
Oh, my real job? I'm an engineer. My company is Engineering 303, and we specialize in stream restoration and wetlands restoration. Also have a land surveying division in the company, so we do some local surveying just to help Katie out, but don't tell anybody about that.
Yeah. Perfect. Did you want to talk about, I don't even know what you do. Okay. Oh, what do you do?
That actually makes me feel good.
Thank
you. I'm a Rotarian at heart.
You have another life? No.
I'm an entrepreneur. You can follow me. Just Google my name.
Okay. So that's K-A-T-I-E-R-O-C-C-O.
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. Tony, give us a way to find you.
Sure. You can go to vangelderfinancial.com. It's our website. Subscribe to the Weekly Thought. We send out every Friday, free of charge, just what's going on in the world of economics and finance. And
nice.
You can just stay connected that way. And you can find all our contact information there.
And you'll probably be hearing Tony on our podcast in the future, because I have a feeling this is not the first and not the last time we'll have Tony on. Awesome. And DePriest and I are at the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia. And our website is www.cfneg.org. And if you want to email us, mine's too long. So do you want to put yours out there?
Mine is very simple. Dwaddy, D-W-A-D-D-Y. @cfneg.org.
Thank you all for listening today. And if you enjoyed this podcast, Please stay tuned for more. Also, join us for the Magic of Giving event on August 17th, where we celebrate the Good to Give Gala. Please join us on our website at www.cfneg.org for tickets and sponsorship opportunities.
Thank you for joining us on the Good to Give podcast. This show is underwritten by the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, working with donors and nonprofits, improving our world through the power of philanthropy. For more information, go to cfneg.org.